Hey, everybody. Welcome to a new episode of Bench Talk. I'm so excited today to be talking with my guest. Today's topic is, what is it costing you to stay? And we're going to focus mainly on careers and profession, but it does also flow into our personal lives. So we'll touch on that as well. I am really excited to bring to you guys today, Brittany Jackson. Brittany, say hello to everyone.
Good morning, everyone. I'm so excited to be here. So thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. So today's episode was prompted by an IG post that I did, IGTV post that I did or video that I did back in April. You know, the topic was, what is it costing you to stay? And it was prompted because I had a conversation with someone about their career, their specific job. I have been having conversations with them, and not a direct client, but someone that I know, and they were very unhappy, extremely unhappy in their position. And I would see them on a day-to-day basis, and they just, you know, I saw their health go down, the stress levels go up. It was just really miserable for them. And I just one day had to go and say, why are you still here? You know, why are you still here? And what is it costing you to be here? And this person basically just laid it all out. I'm still here because I don't feel like I can go anywhere else. And I know it's not worth it to stay here, but I'm here. And I'm like, you know, look at what's happening to you. Look at the stress levels. Look at how often you're getting sick. Look at how often you hate coming in, you know, into your job. They said, yes, I agree, you know? And so we had a very long, lengthy, in-depth conversation. And by the end of that conversation, you know, this person was like, I really see what I need to do. You know, I need to put myself first. So that prompted me doing that video because I said, how many other people are out here in that same predicament, right? And so Brittany made a comment on the video and I was like, this is awesome. I'm intrigued on knowing what your take is on this because Brittany, you basically said, been there, done that, you know? And I was like, oh, maybe we should connect, right? So that was what kicked this off. So I'm really happy to have you here. But before we talk about what is it costing you to stay, I would love to really introduce my audience to who you are. Where did you start? How did you get here? And who is Brittany J, right? So Brittany, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So my name is Brittany Jackson. You can call me Brittany J for short. I have been in the staffing industry for several years, and I transitioned over into coaching. The name of my business is Metamorphosis Coaching Solutions. I believe in transformation, and I'm passionate about working with aspiring entrepreneurs as well as leader. And that's me.
So you were in staffing. And so when you say in staffing, were you working with a company within a specific organization and were recruiting for them, or were you with a recruiting firm?
So I worked internally.
Okay.
So managing clients, managing staff.
And so what was the impetus to get you to go out on your own?
Well, I just realized that I was not able to really walk in my purpose fully in any corporate environment. There's a lot of red tape and you have to kind of pick and choose. I came to a point where I realized that I was no longer happy in my position because I was not able to really serve people at the level that I could.
Totally understood. A lot of people are in that predicament, you know, but not everyone really listens to themselves and listens to their gut and, you know, make that jump or move to whether it's another organization or starting something on their own, which this is an excellent segue into our topic, our main topic of what is it costing you. But before we do that, I would be remiss if I did not say this. Brittany is also a coach. I'm a coach, right? And when Brittany commented on my post, I wasn't like, oh my God, who is she? Why is she following me? She's another coach. Totally not that way. One of the things that I am a huge proponent of, and Brittany is as well, is collaborating with other people, you know, partnering with other folks who are in the same industry as you. I don't look at Brittany as my competition. She doesn't look at me as her competition. We have two different niches. We're in the same industry, in the same field. We have partnered obviously together, and we are collaborating. And as women, we need to do more of this and see more of this and lift each other up. So if you're wondering why in the world would I have another coach on, it's because of that. You know, I am truly about empowering. I can't say that word. I am truly about empowering other women, right? And bringing people into the fold and, you know, the platform that I have. If I can help someone else, I will definitely do that. So this is why Brittany is on the show and on the episode. She really has some really good insights, and I wanted to bring that to everyone. So I just wanted to throw that in there really quickly. So Brittany, let's jump into our main topic. What is it costing you to stay? But before we start talking about that, I wanted to play a little clip of the IGTV for those who did not hear it or did not see it. It was from April 23rd of 2019. And here's the clip. Hey guys, back at you again with another Tip Tuesday. And today I wanted to talk about what's it costing you. So what is it costing you? So I just had a conversation with a client, and you know, they're very unhappy in their position, in their job, in their role. A lot of things going on, a lot of political situations going on, and they are unhappy and stressed all the time. And I asked the question to them, what is it costing you? And they said to me, my health. And then I paused and I said, is it worth it? They said, no. You know, so there was an awkward silence, you know? And so I said, what hobbies do you have outside of work? What do you do to decompress and just get away? And they told me what they did and that they used to do it, and they no longer do it because they're consumed with work and they work on the weekends as well. And I said, you know, you really should put boundaries around your work schedule and your personal life. Because if you're telling me that your manager is unhappy with the work that you're doing and just really isn't supporting you, no matter what you do over the weekend and after hours, it's not gonna make them happy. So that's a bigger conversation, right? So I asked the question, what is it costing you? If you're at a point where you are, it's impacting your integrity, if it's impacting your day-to-day, if it's impacting your personal life, what is it costing you? Is it worth it for you to stay? What are the things that you need to do to now move forward and put things in place to move on, you know? So sometimes it's just a matter of you wanting to stay because you're comfortable, but what is that comfort costing you? So think about that. If you're unhappy in your current position, or if you're wondering, is it time to leave? Think about what it's costing you. So I challenge you to do an assessment on what it is costing you to stay in your current role. So I challenge you to do that. And today is a Tip Tuesday. Hopefully that was helpful. Hopefully it will make you think about things. What is it costing you? What's important to you? And what's your priority? That was the clip that prompted this conversation. So Brittany, what is it costing you to stay? You kind of touched on it a little bit, but I want to dive deeper into that topic. What is it costing you to stay, and why people stay in careers, or not even a career, in a position with a particular company for longer than they should? So let's talk about that a little bit. What's your take on that topic specifically, and from what you've seen and experienced, or let's talk about your particular experience staying too long?
Well, Jackie, You really hit the nail on the head right in the beginning. That's what attracted me to your post in the first place. You shared a lot of the emotions that I felt personally, and I just have to go out there and say I have experienced that cycle too many times. And so right. I'm so glad that I am no longer in that cycle. But you know, that you stay too long when you realize that you don't have the support that you need and you don't feel challenged to grow.
I don't want to speak for all women, but you know, my focus is women and their, you know, providing empowerment for women. I just see it all the time where we don't have the confidence, you know, we collectively, you know, we don't have the confidence. We're sometimes in a position where we're thinking that it's too hard to do something new. It's too hard to leave. So let's talk a little bit about your specific situation. What was it? You know, you said that you didn't feel that you had the support and you couldn't grow. So let's talk about a little bit more of your experience, because I'm sure there are other women out there who are in that situation right now.
Absolutely. Well, just a little bit about me and how I operate. I've always been the type of individual, when I commit to something, I give it my all. I commit fully and I will do whatever I can to make sure that it's done and it's done well. And sometimes you can find yourself, or for me, I found myself, my way of operating or my commitment level did not match that of the people around me. And so that can cause a little bit of friction. And so from a leadership standpoint, the people who I were to follow did not necessarily give me the level of support that I needed. So in my particular situation, I've been in this situation, unfortunately, a few times before in different environments. Having support is very important when you are committing to a career, a job, a relationship, anything in that type of situation. But for me, I'm the type of person where I commit to something, I show up, I do everything I can to give it my best, to give it my all. And it's equally important for me to have the same level of support. And sometimes you don't get that. So in my past, I have dealt with experiences in lacking the support that I needed in past roles. I am the type of person that when I commit myself to something, I will give my all, will do whatever I can to go above and beyond, because that is the quality of work that I like to leave behind. And unfortunately, sometimes in your career or even in a personal relationship, you can become mismatched. And for me,
yes,
I dealt with that a lot. I dealt with the mismatch. And sometimes people can take it the wrong way. They think that you are trying to be a know-it-all, or you think you're better than other people. And so you begin to experience a lot of friction. I can't say that that happens for everyone, but right, that is a situation that occurred with me regularly.
Really, really quickly, I don't want to, you know, let you lose that thought, but hold that thought. It is so imperative, because you just said something that I teach, and I'm sure you know this as well. In my coaching, in career coaching, and just in career coaching generally speaking, what we help people with is to help us identify and learn to identify when, before we take a new role or take a role or take a job offer, during that interview process, that is where you really have to come out of your shell and learn as much as possible about the company, about your hiring manager. It's a new relationship. You know, what do you do at the beginning of any relationship before you really commit, right? You're learning that person, you're asking questions, you know, it's a fact-finding mission that you're on, because it is a relationship that you're going into, right? You know, it's interesting that you say that the mismatch, sometimes we don't see it until we're fully in it, right? And so then when you're in it and you recognize it, it's now what do I do about it? Because yes, it can definitely cause friction. And, you know, we're professional and we have, you know, I think you and I have the same work ethic. We're really careful with what we put our name behind, right? Right? We give 110%. And I have a cousin who says, everybody is not going to be you. Everybody is not going to do what you do. And you have to sometimes remember that, right? And it's hard to navigate sometimes because we're like, why don't you see, it should be, you know, this level of not perfection, but quality. You know, right. We want to do quality work. And sometimes it is very frustrating when we don't see that that same quality from other people. Again, not everybody is going to be you. So like, how do you navigate your way through that? It's a tricky, very tricky and slippery slope when you are the doer, you're the strategic thinker, you are the person that brings quality, you have value, you want to show your value, and you're not equally yoked, if you will, with the company or the other person. So talk a little bit about that, Brittany.
Well, I love that you brought that out, Jackie, because it is very true. And it's frustrating when you're working alongside people, but it's even more challenging when it's someone that's leading you.
Yes.
Talking about the interview process, because of my background in the staffing industry, it's very important for us as employers in that position to realize that we have to be a good fit also to the person that we want to bring on board. It's not just about them fitting into the criteria that we need. We also want to make sure that as leaders, we're positioning ourselves to really work with people that we can help develop in and invest in.
Absolutely. So let me ask you this, in past experiences, how long did it take you, just generally speaking, for you to, what were the things that led you to believe or realize that this is not really a fit? So just a couple of questions there. When did you realize it, and how long did you stay in it, and what did it do to you and to your self-esteem and to your confidence? Talk a little bit about that.
Wow. Okay. Well, how long did it take for me to recognize it? Took too long. Too long.
Wow. Okay.
I really can't put that into a finite answer, but what I can say is I do have a sense of awareness, and I think that it's very important that we all have a sense of awareness about ourselves and what's working and what's not working. So where I slipped up in my situation was thinking that the issue was completely me. And I will say this, there are times in the situations that we're in where it really is us. And so it's very important to differentiate between, is this something that I need to correct? Is this an area that I need to improve in? Or am I in an unhealthy environment?
Right.
And so unfortunately for me, there were a few times where I stayed in situations that really were not serving me. They were really not uplifting me. They weren't benefiting me. Mm-hmm. But me being the worker bee that I am, me just wanting to give it my all, maybe if I do this, or maybe if I change, then it will get better, and maybe they'll like me, or maybe, you know, they'll respect me. And the bottom line is, no matter how great you are, or no matter how great your work is, some things are just not going to work out in your favor. And so for me, as I got older and I became more receptive of that, and I stopped with the people pleasing, I realized that, okay, it is what it is. You may do great work. You may do your best to make sure that everyone's needs are met. But if you're pouring out and you're pouring out and there's no one there to support you, there's no one there to uplift you or to invest in you or position you to challenge you for better, then this probably isn't going to work out in your favor.
You That needs to be repeated from the mountaintops, yelled from the mountaintops, right? Because that is so true. That is so true. Having support. And I can tell you, and you know, being vulnerable here and fully transparent, my listeners know that I am by trade a project manager. And I have in the past had to decline or professionally walk away from situations that were just not supportive of me and the work that I can do and the transformation that I can bring to an organization when it is critical that I have that support, you know, because I worked or have worked on really major initiatives and it requires a certain personality to get things done, right? I'm very assertive. Not aggressive, at least I don't think so, but very assertive. And I get stuff done. And as a project manager, you typically, or a program manager, you typically, your team typically does not report to you directly. You have to get things done through other people, right? And so I need support in doing that. And when I see that we're in a critical path situation, and I'm not getting that support, or I see that the leadership above me can't, or for whatever reason, won't provide that support, I will say something, you know, I'll say something in order for me to do this. This is what I need from you. But that it took me years to get to that point, honestly, right? So I'm at a point now, if I'm on a project or a program, I'm working at a certain level. I have responsibilities and there are huge expectations of me. So in turn, I have the conversation of the expectation I have of leadership. I will have those one-on-one conversations or group conversation about what I expect from you. In order for me to do this for you, I need you to do this for me. I need you to support me. And so I set expectations very early on. And again, I have to say, it took me years to get to that point because early on, I was not this assertive. You know, I was still trying to find my way and still trying to navigate through, you know, where do I fit? How do I fit? How do I do this thing? And it could be any career, right? So you can be in any career, but one of the things that you really have to do is set expectations. And when we don't do that, that's where the breakdown happens. And that's where the miscommunication and the false expectations happen, where we're expecting to have leadership be a certain way, but you now have to recognize what you're working with. Do they have the ability? Because they're people too, right? Woo!
Yes. let me tell you, Jackie, you right there. That is the point. You have to recognize, and like you said earlier, during that interview process, it's fact-finding on both sides. So it's not just the employee needing to come to the table, but it's also the leadership coming to the table. And there are some people who just don't have the capacity or the skill set to lead you and to develop you in the way that you need. And so it is truly important to make sure as you're looking for employment or as you're embarking on a different career path that you are aligning yourself with a like-minded person. Now, of course,
absolutely,
you're not always going to get along. You're not always going to have the same view, but it's imperative for you to grow and to develop in the way that you need to. It's imperative for you to be aligned with the right type of people.
Absolutely. We've been talking about previous to having the employment, you know, during the interview process, but when you're there, what are the things to look for, specific things to look for? You touched on that. So let's go a little bit deeper on that topic. You know, what are the things that you could be looking for in your employer, in your manager, in your leadership to ensure that you're not in this situation where it is not healthy for you? Right. And then let's talk about what to do if you find yourself in that situation where you're not, you know, staying too long. So let's start with what should they look for? What should we be looking for?
Well, you definitely want to be able to approach your manager, your leader. You need to make sure that your leader is one that is present. There's someone that is open to listen to you. And when I say present, I don't mean physically standing there with you, but they're just reachable. If you have a leader or a manager who just does not make time for you, they're not really concerned about your interest or what matters to you.
Right. I've been in that situation. I think we've all been in that situation, you know. I think it's important also, if I may, to just, you touched on it, to be really aware, you know, and trust your gut. What are you feeling, right? How does it feel? Does it feel right? And if it doesn't feel right, you have to listen to yourself and start taking action. And you said, absolutely, sometimes we're people pleasers and, you know, maybe it's me, what do I need to do? And I think we do need to start there as well. Is it absolutely something that I'm doing? And recognizing, okay, if I've done all that I can, now it's for them to do and they're not doing, you have to make those hard decisions and have that hard conversation with yourself. Am I going to be able to be successful, right? I've had situations where I had to say, am I going to be successful in this role? Is Correct. My leadership going to help me be successful? And if I can't answer that positively, then I need to do something different, right? If I now am in a role or on a project where I feel I cannot be successful, I will relinquish and move on and let them know I don't believe I can be successful, and give them the facts of why I believe, you know, give them the reasons why I believe I cannot be successful. It's not pointing a finger or anything like that. It's here are the reasons why I believe I cannot be successful, and have the conversation. And maybe sometimes they will address those items, but you have to approach it. You have to give them the opportunity, and then you make your decision on what your next move is. And again, this is about being assertive and confident. I was not always like this. I'm at a point in my career and in my life where if I'm hired as a consultant to do a job, trust that I will do that job, but we will have to have those hard conversations, right? You brought me in for a reason. This is what I need from you. If I feel like this is not going to be successful, I'm going to tell you the reasons why, give you an opportunity to address them, and see where we can go from there. And if I don't believe that, you know, things are progressing in the way that they should and the way that you say they are, then I now need to think about my next move, right?
Absolutely.
So I think you were in the same position as well, where you had to think about your next move and what you had to do. So, you know, generally speaking, how was that for you? How difficult was it for you? Did you have a come to Jesus meeting with yourself and say, okay, this is what I need to now do? Talk about that a little bit.
So definitely you have to know when you are fighting a losing battle. For me, I am a pretty direct and assertive person as well. And I do try to make sure that I'm careful in how I speak to people and how I present things, because that does go a long way as well. When I have been in those situations, when I said, hey, I'm not growing, hey, I need the support, I have then passed the baton over to my leader to say, hey, this is what I need. And it's really up to them, like you were saying, to decide if that's something that they're willing to do.
Right.
And when you come to a point when you realize that they're not willing to do that, then the ball is back in your court. Am I going to stay here and flounder, or am I going to make those necessary steps to move on? Because ultimately, you are responsible for your peace. You're responsible for your success, you're responsible for your happiness. And so when you give that over to someone else,
right,
you kind of put yourself in a position where you're kind of at their mercy.
Yes.
And so when you realize that you're in an environment or in a situation where that person either simply cannot give you what you need because they don't have the capacity, or if we're honest, they just don't care. They yeah. don't care about what you need, because I've been there too. It's that
too, me too.
You know what, this isn't going to work. And like you said, you respectfully move on and do what you need to do, but it's not that easy. You asked yeah. me a little bit early on, you know, how long did it take? And I mentioned it took me too long because, again, I thought, you know, it was just all me, like, Brittany, do better. Brittany, do this and do that. And yes, while that part is needed, there are times when you realize that you have done all you can. And so maybe you're beginning to outgrow this environment.
Right.
And so it's necessary to realize that, hey, if I'm at a point where I have to move on, don't deceive yourself. Don't put yourself down in thinking that you're a quitter. No, you have to know when this place no longer serves you, it no longer gives you what you need. Because if it's not growing you, it's sucking the life out of you.
Absolutely. I know people have responsibilities and obligations, but I think in my opinion, you are your biggest responsibility, right? You are responsible for yourself. You are obligated to yourself. You need to put yourself first. You value yourself enough to know when it is time to go, right? When it's, and you hit the nail on the head, you know, and when it's time to go is when it's really affecting you. And now you're bringing it home and it's affecting your family. It's affecting your health, right? I've been there as well. We're not trying to make it sound like it's something easy to do. Oh, just say F it and we're out. Absolutely not. You know, right. You want to make sure that you have things in place. You want to make sure that you are in a position to walk away from. And when I say walk away from, I'm not saying, you know, just up and leave, but put things in place so that you can back out professionally, respectfully, keep intact your personal brand, your reputation. You know, there are things that you can do that will typically be labeled as career suicide. You don't want to do those things, right, Brittany?
You're right. But I will add to that, because I definitely agree with you there. As a former employer, you always want to do the very best you can to lead professionally. But if it's that to the point where you really don't, it's life or death for you situation, you may just have to put your finger up and say, hey, you know, unfortunately, yeah. I'm not going to be able to do this. So I would hate for anyone to get to that point.
Right.
But if it's driving you to a point where you are just getting utterly sick, you got to do what's best for you. I know for me, I endured a lot of emotional stress and even to the point of anxiety and sickness. And I bring that up because I don't want anyone to think that it can't happen or that it doesn't happen or it's wrong to admit it. You really have to listen to your body.
Yes.
And you have to make sure that you do not allow yourself to stay in positions that really can kill you. You know, stress is
yes.
a violent killer. And mm-hmm. so if it's not something that can be corrected, if your cries and your requests are falling on dead ears, you definitely want to do what you can. And like Jackie was saying, you want to make sure, don't wait till it's too late to start looking for something else. If you are starting to sense that, hey, this is not really where I'm going to be the next 5 years or the next year or maybe even the next 6 months, get your resume updated. Start looking for different opportunities. Start positioning yourself so where you're not backed into a financial situation where you feel like you're stuck. You know, you mentioned the young lady from the clip. I had been in that situation myself before. I didn't know where to go, what to do, but I just knew that this wasn't it. And so I really thank God for wisdom and for growth to come in for me to realize that, hey, you don't have to stay here. You don't owe your allegiance to anyone else at the end of the day but you. Yes, we all want to get paid. We know we have bills and responsibilities, but you don't want to be lethally loyal to people.
Oh my goodness. Say that again.
I don't know who said it first, but I'm just copying it.
Right.
Because it resonated with me. You don't want to be lethally loyal. I have been lethally loyal to the wrong people in the wrong places for the right reasons. And I say the right reasons is, again, going back to my work ethic and who I am and my character, but to the wrong people. And so you have to know when, okay, this isn't going to work out for me. So whenever you get to a point where you have to compromise your standards and your character, it's time for you to move on.
You know what? It's so important. That is so important. And both of us as coaches, holistically coaches, whether it's your professional life or your personal life, mm-hmm. that absolutely can be transferred to your personal life, if you understand what I mean. Like, you can, that same statement, I wrote it down, you do not want to be lethally loyal. You can translate that to your personal life as well, because you and I, as holistically coaches, where we're looking and we're working with people, from their personal aspect and professional aspect, I cannot begin to tell you how, and you know this, how important that is, right? When you start to compromise who you are, it is time to reevaluate that relationship.
It really is. And
right?
You can't turn it on and turn it off. Who you are.
Right.
You can't be one way at work and one way at home. Now, granted, you could be more relaxed at home, but your character, your standards, you know, what you stand for, your beliefs, that should always transcend across no matter what capacity you're serving in. And at the point that you are asked to check that at the door.
Yes, right.
Don't be too professional here. Don't, sweep that under the rug. No, I'm sorry. No, ma'am. No, sir. I can no longer commit to this environment, because then you're asking me to dumb myself down. You're asking me to drop my standards.
Right.
To make me comfortable. And I am no longer going to position myself to make people feel comfortable doing things that I truly don't agree with.
That is so poignant. That is just, I know that's going to resonate with people. I know that's going to resonate with someone out there, and someone needs to hear that. You know, there is someone in this position today. You know, what would you say to that person in this position today? They are not at the level necessarily where we are professionally, maybe even emotionally, with our confidence level and assertiveness. What would you say to that person who is just really sitting there contemplating, oh my God, what do I do? How do I get out of this? What do you say to that person right now who on the weekend is just sitting there dreading going to work on Monday?
Well, I would definitely say that to whoever is listening who is dealing with this right now in their life, you do deserve better. Do not settle for anything less than what you deserve. And you deserve to be whole. You deserve to be at peace. You deserve to enjoy what you do every day for a living. And if you don't, then it's time for you to look for something else. You may be saying, I don't have the time. You actually do have the time. You just have to make it. You can't afford to stay in a position that is not going to set you up for success. And success is more than just money. It's your entire well-being.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is so poignant. Again, Miss Brittany J, you have dropped a lot of gems on us. Really, really enjoyed speaking with you. All things Brittany J, tell us a little bit about your company.
Okay, so All Things Brittany J, that came to me recently as I was trying to decipher as becoming a new entrepreneur, all of these different hats that I wear. I'm a wife, I'm a mother, I'm a leader, I'm an author, I'm a coach, I'm all of these things. And so for me as I transitioned into entrepreneurship, as I was talking about that red tape, there's no more red tape here for me. So now I can fully serve in the capacity that I feel led to serve in. There's no more barriers for me. So I am the owner of Metamorphosis Coaching Solutions. That is actually my business, my coaching business, but I am all those things. And so I am ready to serve anyone that falls in those categories, whether you're a wife, whether you're a mom, whether you are a leader, whether you need coaching, that is who I am. So whenever you sit down with me, whenever you connect with me, just know that I'm all those things.
Awesome. You are every woman, right? Maybe I don't know if I can afford it. No, I was going to say maybe we go out on that music, but no, I don't have the rights. Yeah, so I'll stick with my outro. Being real here. Tell you, and you are an author, so tell everyone about your book, the title of your book, where they can get that. Give us some info on that.
Okay, so I recently released a book back in the spring of this year, and it is called Wanted: A Leader Worth Following. So it is quite timely that we're having this discussion, because you, as a leader, you want to make sure that you position yourself to be a leader that people actually want to connect with, that they want to build and grow with. So you can actually get my book on my website, which is www.allthingsbrittanyj. It's an ebook, or you can do the audio recording.
Awesome. 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 So to segue into how everyone can stay in touch with you, let us know how we can find you, your social media handles.
So Facebook and Instagram, it is All Things Brittany J, and that's J-A-Y. You can also find me on Twitter, All Brittany J.
All Brittany J on Twitter. And your website again?
It's allthingsbrittanyj.com.
Awesome. Brittany, this was really, really good. I really enjoyed speaking with you, and thank you so much for dropping the gems that you did. Guys, go out there, get Brittany's book, listen to the audio version either way, learn something about leadership. I know that is a hot topic, you know, because I don't believe leaders are born. There are things that you have to learn. There are definitely traits and, you know, personality types, but learning is something that I'm a big proponent on. So your book would definitely help people to understand what that is and how to improve on it. Definitely get that book, guys. So Brittany, thank you so much for joining. Guys, thank you for listening to another episode of Bench Talk. I will see you soon. Thanks, guys. Thank you for listening to another episode of Bench Talk. Be sure to catch up on previous episodes at benchtalk.net. This is Jackie Mitchell, your career consultant. Be sure to follow me on Facebook and Instagram at Jackie Mitchell CC. And on Twitter, Jackie Mitch, that's Jackie M-I-T-C-H-C-C. Thank you, guys.